Yes.
Anyhow, let's finish out talking about, you know, there's a lot of excitement with the endometrial cancer. Checkpoint inhibitors are full blown in there. I think hopefully maybe we'll see them being used first line in the future, particularly with MSI high disease. There was a paper just presented last week at ASCO looking at first line checkpoint inhibitors, MSI high colorectal cancer, I believe.
Yep.
So we'll see, Dave, whether that's going to come to endometrial cancer as well. But let's talk about cervical cancer. Now we have also checkpoint inhibitors as an issue there. So Dave, we said, how is pembrolizumab approved in patients with metastatic cervical cancer? And basically, it's patients with higher PD-L1 levels. Maybe you can talk a little bit about this trial, Dave, that you did. It seems like you do almost all the trials here. But anyhow, this trial that ended up getting cervical cancer an approval, even though it wasn't necessarily the most exciting outcome, but at least it's something that a patient can be treated with. What did you see in the study, Dave?
Well, when we looked at part of this giant Keynote 158, and I was not the lead on this study, but I did present the endometrial cancer data at ESMO, but I'll take credit for all of them. I wish I was the lead on all of them, but as I said, I'm not that smart. We have patients, there's 98 cervical cancer patients. Of those 98 cervical cancer patients, 77 of them or 79% of them had PD-L1 positive CPS greater than or equal to 1. So for those who treat lung cancer, it's a different level. In cervix, it's just greater than or equal to the 1%. So when we look at those patients...
And we should mention, we're going to talk on Thursday, in lung cancer, you're looking more at 50% being considered high.
Correct. And so when we look at these patients, again, modest of a 15% response rate. But when we look at cytotoxic therapy, we're talking single agents with higher toxicity. And we also see clinical benefit beyond that 15% response rate that, again, is important in these patients. If they're not overly symptomatic, we can control their disease, even if we don't get that tumor shrinkage.
So I am curious, you know, not that many patients actually have objective responses, as you say, Dave, but are there people, you know, the real, you know, intrigue about checkpoint inhibitors in all these diseases is the possibility that you'll get launched into a long remission. We were talking about stopping people on therapy. Do you see that with cervical cancer? Do you see people getting these 15% or even more prolonged benefit?
Yeah, you know, I have a couple of patients in my practice who are now at a couple of years, and I have patients in my practice with recurrent uterine cancer who are cured. They've been off checkpoint inhibitor for 3 years with recurrent cervical. I've had to change how I counsel patients about, we're not going to get rid of this disease, which I don't know anymore. Now, in cervix, we'll see this same phenomenon, and you will only see about a 2-3% complete response rate, maybe a little bit higher if we look at some trials. But if you get that patient who gets the CR, do we have the chance to cure them? It may be, but it's a challenging question whether or not to stop at 2 years. In my own practice, if they have persistent disease, so I can still see something on the CAT scan, I don't, if that's uterine or cervix, I will continue the pembro beyond 2 years. If they've had a complete response, I have that discussion that many trials have stopped at 2 years, and we have that discussion and often will elect to stop so that we minimize the potential IO toxicity.
So, Shannon, you know, it's really interesting, again, all throughout oncology, try to figure out who's going to respond to some of these new agents. We were talking last week about checkpoint inhibitors in Hodgkin lymphoma and the weird PD-1 amplification they see there. Everybody thought that cervical cancer was going to be like Hodgkin, like super responsive to checkpoint inhibitors because it's a viral-induced disease, and yet that kind of didn't happen. Any thoughts about that, Shannon?
Yeah, I mean, I'm disappointed. I think that we did have high hopes that this was going to look like some of the other tumor types that have that. It's a hot tumor on the scale, but maybe not hot enough. And what we don't understand is what the viral proteins, how they really are involved. I think there's a number of studies now that are looking at taking checkpoint inhibition, but then adding something else, either a vaccine or something that kind of targets the virus to see if we can amplify that response. But yeah, it's better, to David's point, it's better than chemo. So that was something, but it's a pretty low bar.